And we are going to turn together in God's Word this morning to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. For the last 6 or 7 weeks or so, we have been looking together at some of the basics of the Christian faith. And we've said that Mark's Gospel is a good place to start because Mark boils it down to the basics in terms of what he tells us about Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus has come to do. And so we've been trying to look at this portrait of Jesus that he paints in the last few weeks to try to understand better what it is that we do as a church as we follow Jesus and talk about Jesus. And we're going to wrap up this series this morning. We may come back to Mark at some point in the future, but wrap up this brief look at Jesus this morning by looking at the closing verses of Mark chapter 1. If you remember last week, we had said at the end of our section, verse 39, Jesus is traveling throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. And we picked this up in Mark 1, verse 40. If you need that in your pew Bibles, it's page 991. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends of Jesus, for 2 months now, we've been looking closely at Jesus and his work. And if there's one thing I think that strikes me about these last number of weeks, it's that we've seen a lot about Jesus in these weeks, and yet we've barely scratched the surface. We're only one chapter into Mark's gospel out of 16. We're probably only a couple of months maybe into Jesus' ministry at the most, out of Jesus' probably 3 years of ministry. We haven't actually heard Jesus say that much. We've seen him heal some people and drive out some demons. We've heard about the crowd's reaction to him, but we really haven't seen that much of Jesus, and yet we've seen a lot, even as we just scratch the surface in this first chapter of Mark. But as we talk about some of the gospel basics, maybe the most basic thing that we are left with today at the end of this first chapter of Mark is this little phrase that shows up right in the last verse. People kept coming to him. People kept coming to Jesus. They came. There was something about Jesus that when you got close to him, you couldn't just walk away. And I think it's important for us to say that this morning because sometimes, even in the church, we look at Jesus and we say by our actions, if not in our hearts, that we need more than that. That we need to have the right programs and the right style, the right atmosphere, the right music, whatever it is, the right people in place in order to attract people to the church. And I'm not knocking any of those other things. It's preparation and good programs are important. But at the end of the day, the only thing that we need is Jesus. People keep coming to Jesus. It was true in Jesus' day. It's true in our day as well. I need to hear again today that once you encounter Jesus, you can't simply leave him alone. That people still come to Jesus. And I first want to talk about this morning the kind of people that come to Jesus. If we're talking about the basics of the Christian faith, what kinds of people come to Jesus? Because sometimes in our minds we build up this idea that the people that come to Jesus, the people that go to church, the people that are in church and serve the world are people who have it all together, people that are good, people who do all the right things. But what we see in our text this morning is something quite different. What kind of person comes to Jesus? Well, Mark offers us one glimpse of an individual who wants Jesus' attention in verse 40. A man with leprosy came. Now maybe you ask yourself the question as we're going through this text, and you say, well, why does Mark single out this guy? Of all the people, he's said already a couple of times, Jesus is healing lots of people. Why does he single out this incident for our reflection? And of course, we don't know exactly why, but certainly one reason could be that leprosy is a special kind of disease in the Bible. Maybe some of you know a few things about the culture and of the Bible and the ancient world, and you know that leprosy is a disease given to a whole category of kind of illnesses that you would get. Today we think of leprosy as one disease called Hansen's disease. But in Jesus' day, it referred to a whole category of skin diseases, things that would be running infections or scaly, rough skin that you didn't know. It could be contagious, it could not. And so it was safer to simply let the people with leprosy, what's called leprosy, stay away so that no one else would catch it. And so there's a physical suffering, there's an emotional suffering, but it's more than that even in the Bible. In the Bible, leprosy is also something that leaves a person ceremonially unclean. And so if you get to Leviticus 13, I've mentioned these references in the outline. Leviticus 13 has a description of what you're supposed to do if you have leprosy. If you have this, you have to go outside the town, you have to live by yourself out there, and whenever anyone comes by you, you have to say, unclean, unclean, to warn them away. Now, you don't have to be too old to realize that that's not much fun. I mean, imagine, kids, if you were on the playground and you got sick, and what you had to do is anytime anybody came close to you, you'd say, hey, stay away. That's what the lepers had to go through. And if you did experience healing, in fact, you can go to Leviticus 14 then and see what happens. If you did experience healing, there's a very elaborate ritual that you have to go through to be cleansed, to bring sacrifices before a priest before it was okay for you to come back into normal society. Leprosy is an awful disease, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. But still, this man came. There was something about Jesus that made this leper break the social norms of his day. Instead of saying, Jesus, stay away, I'm unclean, this man comes over and says, I want to be near you, Jesus. This man showed up where no one wanted him. And if you keep reading through the Gospels, if you read what happens in Jesus' ministry, we see this kind of thing happen over and over again, don't we? You see that people that we aren't sure whether we want them around are always showing up around Jesus. Because there's something appealing, something approachable about the Savior. They call him a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now, it wasn't exactly a compliment in his day. It's not something that we would see necessarily as a compliment in our day. But the call of the church, just as the call of the Savior, is to allow people who are broken and weary and wounded to come to Jesus. Leprosy reminds us, as one pastor puts it, of the rough, scaly people that society doesn't want around, that we don't want around, who need to be near Jesus. But I'd push that even further and say that at a deeper level, leprosy, this picture of this leper reminds us of how we all look before God, that we are all, in a sense, rough, scaly people compared to God's holiness. The purity laws of the Old Testament, Leviticus, remind us that on a basic level, decay and corruption can't exist with God's holiness, can't exist with what God created us to be and to do. And I think we understand that, even on some kind of deep gut level as human beings, don't we? If I make a rough, scaly comment to you, I say something harsh, and I know that it hurts you, there's this awkwardness that exists between us, isn't there? I probably don't want to come around too quickly because I'm afraid that you might bring it up, and you don't want to be near me because you're afraid that I might hurt you again. And until that is resolved, until there is healing, and it can be kind of an elaborate thing sometimes in order to heal even harsh words like that. We exist apart from each other as long as that roughness and that scaliness remains. And what's true between us as human beings is all the more true between us and God. But still, the leper came. He came. The kind of people that need Jesus are the people who are broken, who are healing. We need to recognize that both that we are those people and that those people will continue to need to come to Jesus around us. And the leper comes, and he comes with a request in verse 40. And it's interesting again, too. Sometimes we skip over these things. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing. Not if you're able. He doesn't question whether or not Jesus has the power to make him clean. Presumably he's heard about Jesus' healings. He's heard about Jesus' miracles already. But if you're willing. And again, if we put ourselves in the leper's shoes, I think we can understand why he would not set himself up for too much disappointment. If you're willing. If it's okay with you, Jesus. Because who knows how many times in his life this leper has experienced a look from someone else that says, you're not that important. And again, we know that look, don't we? It's on the playground. You know, it exists in business. That glance that says, you know what? I don't want to deal with you. If you're willing. If you're willing. And the same kind of thing still happens today in so many ways. It happens on a societal level, doesn't it? I think of the comment of Martin Luther King, which is still largely true, that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is perhaps the most segregated hour in America. And sadly, the church's record on race has sometimes reinforced the impression that God's love can't bridge gaps between people. It can't reconcile. It can't heal. It can't put them together again. Because as human beings, sometimes we are unwilling to open ourselves up to that possibility of reconciliation. And that's why, regardless of the precise political positions we may take on things, it's vital for the church to understand that we need to have conversations about issues of racial injustice or compassion for immigrants and refugees in our world today. But this is not just a societal issue. This is something that we all need to deal with on a personal issue in our own hearts, too. Deal with those who think differently, who act differently from us, dealing with those who have hurt or offended us, and ask each other, can we be willing to see what God is doing in healing the roughness and the scaliness of human existence? Because the basic truth is that people still need Jesus, and they need to see God's willingness to receive sinners, to receive hurting, doubting people before him. And there's something beautiful here about Jesus' willingness, isn't there? And about the willingness of those who follow Jesus to receive broken people and engage them in their struggles. Think of the story of Corrie ten Boom. Some of you know that name. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch woman who lived during World War II, had accepted Jews, hid Jews in her home, was discovered, sent to a concentration camp along with her father and her sister. Her father and his sister both died in the concentration camp. She survived the war. And after the war, she had the sense that what Europe needed more than anything else was to hear about the forgiveness that comes in Jesus. And so she began to speak first in her own country and then later in Germany about the need for healing and forgiveness. And after one of her talks, she was in Germany, and a man came up to her and he said, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story because I am a man who needs forgiveness. He said, I was a Nazi. I worked in the concentration camps. And instantly as she is looking at him, she sees he doesn't recognize her. She was just a prisoner in the camp. But she recognizes him as one of the guards in a camp where she had been. And she said that instantly all of these, the cruelty and the harshness and all of the injustice that she had felt came rushing back to her mind, and she said, I did not want to forgive him. I did not want to be willing. I knew that I should, but I didn't want to. And she saw, and she says, you know, it seemed like a long time. It was all instant. But she said, I saw his hand outstretched as he said, will you forgive me? And she said, I didn't know how to do it. See, willingness is a hard thing. And it was, she said, in that moment, the only thing I could do was to pray, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I need you to help me. And she said it was in that moment that the Spirit came on her, and she reached out her hand, and she was able, she said, my hand felt like it weighed a 1,000 pounds, but I was able to pick it up and hold his in a hearty handshake and say, yes, I forgive you. willingness, God-given willingness, is a beautiful thing. In order for the leper to approach Jesus, Jesus had to be close enough to hear him and see him as a real person, a valuable person made in God's image. The beauty of God's love is that though God identifies the destructive ways that sin makes us rough and scaly, God's not shy about talking about our sin, but he does so in a way that reminds people, that shows people that he is approachable and gracious, that he is willing to let sinners come before him, that he's willing to be a God who heals. And God also shows us that this is not just a hope or a dream, that maybe some sinners can be healed. I love those words. I pointed them out this morning when we read the assurance of pardon, that not only others, it's not just people out there who can have their sins forgiven. It's not just other people who aren't as bad as me, but I too can have forgiveness and eternal life. Mark tells us that Jesus is filled with compassion. Now, the original text has a word that doesn't come through very well in translation. If you speak foreign languages, if you've ever learned a foreign language, you know there's some words like that, don't you? Something that it expresses a thought in your own language that doesn't quite come out. And so he's filled with compassion. What the word really gets at is that Jesus feels it in his gut. It's almost a physical sense that as he's looking at this man, he's looking at his broken, you know, not just as his broken physical condition, but he sees and hears his broken spirit. Are you willing? Would you really think that this is possible, Jesus? Jesus is maybe even, he feels it, and he's maybe even angered a little bit in a righteous sense at the power of sin to do this to a person, to separate, to isolate from each other and from God. And so Jesus does the unthinkable. Mark tells us that he stretched out his hand and touched him. Now again, we remember what we said about lepers earlier, don't we? You didn't touch lepers. You didn't go near them. You might catch what they had. If you didn't catch it physically, you were certainly going to catch it spiritually. You know, you would be unclean. You would be away, have to be isolated. That's what sin does. You don't go near lepers. You certainly don't touch them. But Jesus does that. He touches him. He grabs his hand. Like one of those firm handshakes that you get from people, you know, when you're really glad to see him. I am glad to see you. And he holds on. I am willing, he says, be clean. And what we find is that instead of Jesus getting the man's leprosy, we find that Jesus' divine power and purity are contagious. The leprosy instantly goes away, and the man is sent off to begin the process of being restored to society. There is a beauty in Jesus' willingness. There is a beauty in the power of Jesus' touch to heal and to restore. And it's a touch that we are still called to on a basic level as Christians, to share with one another. Some of you may have heard the story about Father Damien de Wooster. He was a priest sent from his native Belgium in the 1870s to Hawaii as a missionary. A really rough job, right? You got to go somewhere. Go from Belgium, go to Hawaii. Be a missionary. Somebody's got to do it. But what the man does is, when he gets to Hawaii, he discovers that there is a very specific mission that he senses he's called to. See, in Hawaii, what has happened in the mid-1800s is the disease leprosy had never come to the Hawaiian Islands before. It had been brought by people who had been traveling around the world on ships, and Hawaiians begin to get this. And it's a scary thing. They don't know how it comes. They don't know how it's spread. And so the best thing that they can come up with is all lepers have to be quarantined in a remote section of the island that you can only get to by boat. And they're basically sent there to die. And Father Damien was sent there to minister, to serve them, to comfort them, to encourage them. When he arrives, Father Damien is introduced as a man who would love these outcasts so much that he would live and die with them, and those words would become prophetic. Father Damien served there for more than a decade, trying to improve conditions in the colony, tried to offer dignity and compassion and the hope of Jesus to those suffering from the disease. He was loved by the people. People began to hear about his work around the world and what motivates this man. And then one morning, while he was preparing to take his bath, he was heating up some water in the stove, and he splashed some onto his foot, and he noticed that they didn't react at all. And he touched his foot and he pushed a little bit and he noticed that his foot had no feeling. He'd come to have the disease himself after more than a decade of working with the people. Well, for 4 more years, he worked vigorously to build up the colony and provide a secure future for the programs he had started. By the time that he died in 1889, Father Damien had become known around the world for his work of compassion in Jesus' name. And in fact, today, if you go to Washington, D.C., to the U.S. Capitol, each state gets to have 2 statues of people that have meant a lot to their state, 2 statues of famous people, and one of those for Hawaii is Father Damien. You can see his statue there. Here's someone who changed the course of Hawaii. The compassion of Jesus for broken people is a beautiful thing. And if you're one of those broken people this morning who needs to come to Jesus, you need to know that he is approachable and that he still heals. We need to see on a basic level as a church this call that goes out to continue that work today because people still need to come to Jesus. But, and here's my last point this morning, people need to come to Jesus. To Jesus. And yes, God does do his work among rough, scaly people and sometimes through rough, scaly people. He uses us. I mean, we don't always have it all together. Look at this guy when he goes out, right? Jesus tells him, don't say anything. I don't think he's trying to undermine Jesus' ministry, and yet he goes and says everything so that Jesus can't actually do his work. People are coming to Jesus now. He's kind of a celebrity, and people really don't want to hear what he is about, what the kingdom of God is about. People want to see Jesus as a miracle worker. We don't always do this right. And yet God still uses us to deliver people, to bring people to Jesus. Because the world doesn't need us. It doesn't need me. It needs Jesus. If all we talk about in the church is how great we are, and there, we can do some great things in the church. We have some great things going here. But if all we talk about is us, then we forget that the healing God provides comes through Jesus and through him alone. And I mentioned at the beginning of the service that this week marks the 500th anniversary of the start of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther's 95 theses and the discussion that it starts about salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And sometimes when we hear of all of these themes, we think about the Reformation primarily as a doctrinal conversation. That it's about the things that we believe, it's kind of this theological discussion that's going on. But if we look at the Reformers, Martin Luther and others, the primary focus that they had was pastoral. Martin Luther once wrote of his passion, he said, it's very difficult for a person to believe that God is gracious to him or to her. It's very difficult for the human heart to grasp this. We think that we need to do something to earn God's favor. We need to get better and then we can come to him. We can't be rough and scaly and come into his presence and expect him to hear us. But because of that, Luther says, people believe either that God is angry at us or that he doesn't care. We have to prove our way to God. One of my professors once said there were 2 basic questions floating around at the time of the Reformation. The one question was, how do I show that I love God? It's not irrelevant. God calls us to serve him. How do I show that I love God? But the Reformers turned that around and said, before we can answer that question, there's a more basic question that we need to answer, and it's this. How do I know that God loves me? How do I know that God loves me? And it's that basic question that we see in the scripture. It's that basic question that we see in the church. It's that basic question that Jesus answered by his presence. Come to me. And if you're here this morning, you don't know that Jesus, or you're struggling, or you're doubting, you need to know that Jesus is still approachable. If you need to talk to somebody about it, elders will sure be happy to talk to you afterwards. They'll be greeting at the doors. Talk to you, pray with you. We need to know that God loves sinners, broken people. And that includes you and me. Because rough and scaly, weak and wounded, people are looking for God's compassion today. A compassion they will find in us only when they first find it in Jesus. A compassion, though, that is still beautiful, it is still lovely, it is still worth seeking today. that people still come to Jesus. May that be our conviction and our confidence as we serve the Lord here in this place. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what an amazing thing it is that we have been given your love as a gracious gift. And sometimes we like to think of ourselves as having it all together. And it's hard to look at this picture of a rough, scaly, hurting individual and see that even though it may not be our skin that is rough and scaly, our hearts are, our words are, our thoughts are. And so today, Lord, we bring our rough, scaly selves to you in the wonder that you willingly choose to heal us. And as we have been healed and forgiven, use us as the instruments of healing to others today. Holy Spirit, open the eyes of those we encounter this week so that what they see is not first and foremost our work, but the compassion of Jesus. And we pray these things to the Father's glory alone. Amen.